children can go to their children's fun day today. Amen. Somebody holler guardrails. Amen. Praise God for guardrails. You got your Bibles? Turn with me to John. We have a discussion guide for all the last 2 weeks out in the lobby. I have a discussion guide for today, today's message, that you can go over, be a blessing to you. Much of what I'll be sharing with you is in the outline there, because I'll be sharing quite a bit more that's not there. That's part of the message, but you'll enjoy it. It'll give you an idea and bring back to you. You might even want to discuss it. John, you got St. John? St. John, the 14th chapter. When you've got it, why don't you stand to your feet in honor of the Lord and the author of this book. Amen. All right. You're way too quiet out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody next to you. Look right in their eyes. And ask them, is anybody home? If they give you kind of a glazed stare, you want to pray for them. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Hope you've had a wonderful week. If it has not been as wonderful as you would like, get ready for the best week of your life. Amen. And the greatest and best year of your life, God said. Praise God. That is what we are. We are going by His word. And how many know He cannot lie? And if God said it, He'll make it happen. Amen. John, the 14th chapter, one verse, the 16th verse, as we go to part 3 of our series. It says this. Why don't we read it together? And Jesus saith unto him, oh, I can hear you loud and clear up here. Jesus saith unto him, okay, let's all read it together. 1, 2, 3. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. He is the way. He is the truth. Somebody say truth. He is the truth. We want to talk about that today in the subject that I'm going to share with you in this message, Guardrails, Keeping Your Life Out of the Ditch, Advancing on Your Journey with Jesus. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these who have come to hear your word and to just to honor you, Lord, to give the first part of their week, the tithe of their time, to you this Sunday morning. We know that you will bless the other 6+ days of their life. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing even now, the plans you have for them, good plans, plans to give them a future and a hope. Amen. And I give you praise for it. Thank you now for your word. Help me to preach this. Help me to minister. Have, Lord, give each one a rhema word, a personal word. They came, Father. Give them a word that they can take home. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Today, as I said, we continue part 3 of our series. We saw in part 1 that guardrails are healthy boundaries established by heavenly wisdom. Amen. That they are protective barriers to get us from where we are to where we're going. Is anybody going anywhere? I said, is anybody going anywhere? Hallelujah. We've got places to go, people to see, and things to do. God has a life for you, a life called abundant life. Amen, an exciting life. Yeah, now it's not, you know, some days are a little more quiet and calm than others, but it's still a great life, even if it's just a normal day with Jesus. Amen? So we see the protective barriers that get us from where we are to where we're going, and so we don't without going into the ditch. Amen. We saw the differences between earthly wisdom, which is sensual and selfish and devilish, and we saw heavenly wisdom, which is pure and peaceable and gentle, courteous, all allows discussion, and is willing to yield to others etc. We saw that according to James 3, 13 through 18. We went extensively into the difference between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. Amen. And we saw three ways to seek God's wisdom. We saw number one, ask, James 1, 5. We saw two, pursue God's wisdom, read his word, and three, apply God's wisdom to our lives. And then we saw in part two, we saw choose to be a gatekeeper. Proverbs 4, 23. I'm catching you up just quickly for those of you that were not able to be with us. Guard your heart, Proverbs 4, 23 says, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Somebody say issues. What issues, whatever issues you have or others have will come out of their hearts. Are you hearing me? Whatever issues I have come out of my heart. Amen. And it depends on what happens and what those issues are. Some can be good issues, some can be not so good issues, but it would be due to the being the gatekeeper and choosing to guard my heart and not letting everything and anything come into it. Amen. And so, how many would like just to have as few issues as you can? Yeah. Yeah, we don't want any more issues than we have to have. Amen. How many know somebody that has some issues? Uh-oh. People are doing flips. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I understand. I have been there, and God is still working, amen, on me, and I'm still a work in progress. How many of you are still a work in progress? God is working in all of our lives, and so we thank God for the diligence and be the gatekeepers. We saw many of the issues of life, of our hearts, and how we can and must be the gatekeepers of our hearts. Today in part three, I want to get right into it. We want to identify another area of our life where we need guardrails, and that is in our sexuality. We're going to have a sex talk. Oh, I'm so glad I came to church today. Amen. Or you're saying, oh, no, you got to be kidding, Pastor. Yeah, yeah. But there are two things in life people want. You can probably guess that is money and sex. There's more, but that's a good start. Amen. And the two things nobody wants to talk about in the church, at least in the church I grew up in, amen, was money and sex. Everybody pretended to be sexless and penniless. Uh-huh. How many know that many times the church is talking about things that answering questions nobody's asking and not really relating? Well, especially the preacher sometimes in that situation. But we'll leave him alone. Amen. Let's talk about some guardrails. Can we do that for a few minutes this morning? Guardrails for our sexuality. We are all sexual beings. God made us that way. And the main point today is that sexuality is not about opinion and desire. It's about truth and lordship. Stay with me now. It's not about perspective and feelings. Well, I can't help the way I feel. Well, I can't help that the truth is the truth either. Amen. John 6:32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's going to make you free? The truth. I didn't see anything in that verse that says your feelings will make you free. Did you? With some of our feelings, we will never be free. The truth is, with feeling can come a lot of hang-ups. And a lot of those hang-ups in the church with good people over the last 40 years have been in the area of money and sexuality. My 40th year of senior pastoring, and those are the two areas that have caused more problems, amen, with people's lives and especially in marriages, as those two areas, money and sexuality. Truth is not relative. Stay with me. It's or subjective. What does that mean? Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Glory to God. It's not subjective, and it's not relative. Now, what does that mean? That means that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My question is, are we calling that life? Are we really living? We can really live if we have the truth. But I want to tell you, if we don't have the truth, how many know we can live a lie? And we end up living a lie. because what it is, it's not light because it's not truth. And if we're not careful, we end up living a lie. Come on. Pretending that everything's all right when we know it's not. God doesn't want us to pretend. He wants it to be life and life more abundant. And that comes from the truth, which is Jesus. Amen. And so truth is not relative. Truth is not what you say it is. It's not what I say it is. It's not what they say it is. It's not what the Supreme Court says it is. Truth is what God says it is. Amen. And so it's not subject to my interpretation. It's not subject to your interpretation or their interpretation. The world does not and doesn't get to define truth. Are you hearing me? God does. God gets to define truth because he is the truth. Amen. And I thank God that there is truth where there is so much error in our world and so much confusion. Isaiah 48 says this, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God, the truth, shall stand forever. Amen? The truth is going to stand forever. And if you stand with it, you will be standing. Amen? Can you say amen? Now, we saw previously that King David's son, Solomon, how many know about Solomon, the wisest man to ever live? How many know he ended up in the ditch? Because he didn't have sexual guardrails. Are you hearing me? You'll find that in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6, addresses that. Ungodly sexuality leads to idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is anything that a man or a woman loves more, fears more, serves more, values more than God. Serving the creation rather than the creator. Amen. Say we ought to serve the creator who made the creation. All these things are good, God said. But we don't serve them. We serve the creator. Idolatry is serving the creation and not serving the creator. Amen. That's a good definition. I believe that'll help you. Because we think of idolatry in this hour, you know, in this day, just, you know, tiki gods and, you know, all those gods over there somewhere, you know. But no, we have more idolatry in America and gods in America, just as many as India does and all them other places. Are you hearing me? We can make a god out of anything. Anything can become more important than God, more important than the things of God. Amen. Your family can become more important. They're important, but they're not more important. Your husband, your wife are important, but they're not more important. Come on. The pastor is important, but he's not more important. God. Nothing is more important than God. And anything that you make more important, whether it's pleasure or sports or whatever the many gods we have, money, pleasure, time, when we make idols out of those, we are in idolatry. And we cannot prosper in that, and we will not have a good life. We may get away with it for a while, and those gods will end up being gods that can't talk to you, can't help you, and in the end will leave you destitute and empty. Amen. Idolatry leads to hostility because we can't have two gods. Jesus said you can't serve two gods. I may know America's trying to serve two gods. We're trying to serve the living God, and we're trying to serve the God of money, trying to serve the God of pleasure. We're trying to serve the God of our favorite sports team. God told me a long time ago, I love football, raised in a football family, played a little football. Wasn't big enough, so I got run over, so I had to give that up. But amen. Had to leave that to some of the bigger boys. But praise God. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, you can't serve two gods. You'll either serve one and come to hate the other, or you'll come to serve the other and leave the other. Amen. And you'll find that people that begin to serve other gods begin to get further and further away from God and from the things of God. You know why that is? Because they're serving other gods. Are you hearing me? When you serve the living God, you put him first. He is primary. He is God. And all these other things are subservient to the living God. Hallelujah. They bow to the living God. We do not bow to them. And the enemy wants us to bow down to the gods of this world. And that's why in our time and our talent and our treasury, we have some problems honoring God. Amen. Because of some of the other gods that we're serving and bowing down to. Idolatry. God said there's one thing that he's doing in America today. He is causing the false gods and idolatry to be fallen down. He's taking them down in America. Mark it down right where you're sitting. God is moving in these United States of America. It's a battle. It's tough. Unrighteousness does not want to give up. But I want to tell you, God is raising righteousness in the land, glory to God. And he's bringing down all the false gods. Woo! Jesus, he's bringing us back. And revival, I believe, and an outpouring of God's Spirit is coming to America. Amen. Because this is the greatest and best year, not only for us, but for our beloved United States of America. Amen. And how many know it's the greatest and best year for your loved ones? It may not look like that right now. It may not be that right now. But if God said it was, you need to begin confessing it over them. Hallelujah. Yeah, lay your hands on their pillow. Whatever you can do, tell them, no, Lord, I declare this is their greatest and best year yet. It may be the worst year and the ugliest year I've ever seen. But if you said it's the greatest and the best, it is what you said it is. And it's going to have to come into order with what you said. Yeah. Because God never just talks to hear himself talk. Amen. Now, there's five guardrails that I want us to take a quick look at this morning, if you would. Would you like to look with me around sexuality? Are you still there? Now, this first one may seem a bit elementary, but it's necessary. The first one is God created sex. And not only did God create it, but he declared it was good. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. He didn't say it was just good. He said it was very good. God's something else, ain't he? Yeah, he said maybe this is where we get the question, was it good? Well, it ought to be good, amen? Because God said it was good. I said it ought to be good because God said it was good. He said it was very good. It ought to be good. Whatever God says is good ought to be good. And if it's bad, then something wrong. Boy, I tell you, Lord kept some people away today. He didn't want them to hear this message. But you're here. Woo, hallelujah. So glad you're here. Tell somebody else, yeah, I'm glad I'm here too. This is good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very good, he said. Amen. Well, it ought to be. And if it's not good, then something's wrong. Amen? And when something's wrong, how many know you do whatever you can to get and make it right? I heard the words when I was preparing this, make out. Okay, I don't know where it came from, but it just seemed to come to me. So you take it wherever you want it. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell the one next to you, God said it's all good. Go on, tell him it's all good. God said it's all good. Very good. Hallelujah. All right. We have to stop acting like the world and the powers of darkness own and define sexuality. God created sex as the creator, he gets to define how it's used. Amen? If God made it, whoever made it gets to define how it's used, whatever they've made. The car, the house, whatever, that they define how it's made. In Genesis 1:28, it's used for procreation. In Song of Solomon, it's for pleasure. In 2 Samuel 12:24, it's for comfort. And in Genesis 2:24 and 25, sex is for intimacy. Amen. Four things the Bible says that it's for: procreation, pleasure, comfort, and for intimacy. You might want to look up those scriptures. They're very interesting. You may not have known that they were in the Word of God. God has a lot to say about what he is the creator of. God has put perimeters around sex, how sex is to be used. And he protects us and others, and that protects us and others. How many know you're going to need some protection? Sex is a powerful, powerful thing. It can make you or break you. It can bless you or it can curse you. Glory to God. It can give you life or it can kill you. Okay, I better leave that one. Let's go to number two. Amen. But let me just say, it's used. God uses it to protect us and others by how he has defined it and the perimeters he has put around it. Number two, the second guardrail God gives us around sexuality, sex is designed to be between one man and one woman within the context of marriage. Amen. God is not male nor female. He contains all the characteristics of both. The Holy Spirit is known as the comforter, the nurturer, the helper. Matter of fact, he's portrayed as the many-breasted one, the comforter. Aren't you glad for the comforter? How many had a mother who was a comforter? Amen. My mother rocked me all the time. I got so many lumps on my head, you can't see. Hallelujah. Well, she tried to nurture. Amen. Some have had better nurturers than others. Amen. But we bless them just the same. Yeah. And no, God is not transgender.